glad to see each and every one of you. We were starting to get worried. It got about 10 till and nobody was here yet. But I'm glad that everybody showed up. We sure miss a whole bunch of our number. Please continue to keep those in your prayers. I haven't received an update from anyone, so I assume that it's pretty much the same for everyone that's been missing from among us. The lesson is entitled, Unity of the Brethren. One result of the cross is unity. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 through 16 reads, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, reads 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Oneness, harmony, agreement, accord, uniformity. Not unity in error, which is worse than division, according to 2 John verses 9 through 11. Unity is truth in basic. God, Lord, Spirit. Those that do not handle the word of God aright, 2 Timothy 2:15, usually handle the word loosely, as some might say, and tend to add and take away from the word of truth, Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Such individuals historically are described by some as Bible liberals or the left. In contrast, those that strictly follow the Word of God historically are described by some as Bible conservatives or the right. The left agree with those on the right on one God, one Lord, and one Spirit, which is where our one hope is centered. But the faith, the body or church, and baptism, the left disagree with the right. Listen to the following arguments and its necessarily conclusion. If no faith or no revelation, no need for the one Spirit who revealed the Word, so just erase those truths. If no revelation of Spirit, we cannot know the one Lord, so erase it. The only way we know the Father is through the Lord, so erase it. A world without God surely is without hope, so erase it. We must accept all of the truth. The sum of thy word is truth, read Psalms 119 and verse 160, not bits and pieces of it, singled out by itself. So we should read the text slowly, consider it well, then be willing to unerase or cease to add and take away from the word of truth. On each of the following, there is general agreement of all that there is one God. The Bible confirms that there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is general agreement of all that there is one Lord. The Bible confirms that such is correct. One Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him, again, 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is general agreement of all that there is one Spirit, singular, not many. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, reads John 16 and verse 13. There is general agreement of all that there is one hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, reads Titus 2 and verse 13. The Bible says we are saved by hope, Romans 8 and verse 24. hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. In Romans 15 and verse 13 we read, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Titus 1 and verse 2. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life, Titus 3 and verse 7. Hope is the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, Hebrews 6, 18 through 20. There's only one God, one Lord, one Spirit, and one hope. So, why general disagreement on the one faith or the one gospel? Jude verse 3 reads, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith," singular, "which was once delivered unto the saints," Jude verse 3. "He which persecuted us in times past," that is, Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, "now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed," Galatians 1 and verse 23. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand," 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Why general disagreement on the one body? God hath put all things under His feet, that is Christ Jesus, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, reads Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There is one body, that is one church, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, reads Ephesians 4, verse 4. Why general disagreement on biblical baptism? Notice the following necessary conclusion about baptism. If baptism saves, and 1 Peter 3:21 says so, like the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. If baptism provides remission of sins, Acts 2:38, like the blood of Christ, Matthew 26:28. If baptism washes away sins, Acts 22 and verse 16, or cleanses, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, like the blood of Christ, Revelations 1 and verse 5. If baptism is in the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection, Romans 6, 3 through 9, like the gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. If baptism changes one's relationship, Romans 6, 16 through 18, also Romans 6, 3 through 5. If baptism gives right to wear Christ's name, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13, Acts 4 and verse 12. If baptism brings newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 3, because of a new spiritual birth, John 3, 3 through 5. If baptism is for sanctification, Ephesians 5 and verse 26. If baptism is into Christ, Romans 6 and verse 3, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And if in Christ, then a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And all spiritual blessings exist only in Christ, Ephesians 1, 3, which means zero blessings outside of Christ. And if baptism is into one body, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, the church, Colossians 1, 18, or kingdom, John 3, verses 3 through 5. And finally, one last if baptism does all of these things for the soul of mankind, what is one's condition without baptism? There is no excuse for not being in unity on the subject of biblical baptism. The lesson is entitled Unity of the Brethren. Consider with me the biblical description of Bible unity. Notice the text of Psalms chapter 133, the first three verses. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. By way of introduction, note the meaning of the word behold. It is used to point out a fact, person, or thought that is worth great admiration. John 1:29 reads, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3 and verse 1. So, God approves of unity. We should give close attention to His will, make every effort to attain and maintain it in unity. Note the meaning of the word brethren. It is relationship of members in the family of God. From the Old Testament, it applied to the children of Abraham, the Israelites. From the New Testament, it includes all who are under Christ or in Christ. Unity is good, that is, its moral quality is good. Dwell, not temporary, but continuing, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Good in itself, good for us. Good for those who see. But division is bad, wrong, and sinful. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Romans 8 and verse 6. Unity is pleasant, that is, its effect on us is pleasant. As good music delights those who hear, so unity is a constant delight to those who are part of it. A rare combination, both good and pleasant. Paul noted joy and fellowship of Christians who work together for the glory of their master. "Fulfill ye my joy," Paul says, "that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Philippians 2 and verse 2. Unity is attractive. That is, its effect on those who see us is attractive. Oil initiated Aaron into high priesthood. Exodus 30 and verse 30. The sweet fragrance attracted attention of the people. Unity and singleness of heart in praising God made the Jerusalem church attractive. Notice the passage in Acts 2 verses 44 through 47. All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, which was spiritual worship, and breaking bread from house to house, which was a social gathering, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In contrast, confusion repels peace lovers, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. Unity is productive. That is, its effect on the lost is productive. For our considerations of verse 3 from Psalms 133, consider that in the mountainous regions, moisture is raised by the sun, carried in the form of vapor to the lower elevations of Palestine. When it then condenses into heavy dew, which is essential to crops in that area, that becomes productive. Our unity and togetherness helps bring about the conviction and conversion of the lost. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Reads John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another," reads Galatians 5 and verse 15. Unity is blessed. That is, its grand result is blessed. God's blessing is seen in joys of fellowship now and promise of life to come. Paul said, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you." Read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Matthew 25 and verse 34. The opposite attitude cannot be blessed. Notice Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." In conclusion, behold, brethren, unity is good. Unity is pleasant. Unity is attractive. Unity is productive. Unity is blessed. Praise God for provision of the gospel and unity therein. Unity is available through revelation. Be part of it and enjoy it by obedience to its author. Won't you come believing, repenting, confessing, and be baptized into him while together we stand and sing?
Jesus Christ.